Merry Christmas, everybody. Who's excited? I'm excited. My name is Stephanie Schleyer. I'm the Director of Family Ministry, and I just want to welcome you guys here tonight. I guess it's really this afternoon. It's only 3:15. But before I get started, I was wondering if there were any kids out there that maybe wanted to ask their parents if they could come sit down a little closer. If you guys want to sit down here, you'll be able to see what I'm doing a little bit better. And who knows what might happen. So come on down. Come on down if you want to. Great. Yeah, sit on the carpet right there. Yes. So good. So good. Now, we just finished this song called Christmas All the Time. I want it to be Christmas all the time. Really? Who out there thinks, I'm not really sure I want it to be Christmas all the time? If you're a parent, you probably, like, yeah, that's me. I know. Yeah, unfortunately, for me, I find myself a lot of times at Christmas, I overschedule myself and I do too many things. I eat too many cookies. I don't get enough sleep, and I spend too much money, right? And so then Christmas doesn't really feel like this big celebration. I end up kind of feeling weary and just kind of weak because I'm stressed and I'm tired and I feel fat and I feel like, you know, I've spent too much money. Now I have all this debt and I have like some regret about it. That's not the way that God intended for us to celebrate the birth of his son. So I want to show you something different, okay? So we're going to talk for a few minutes about what the Bible has to say about Jesus being born, okay? So first of all, God sent a messenger. What was this? Who was the messenger, do you think? Just shout it out.
Angel!
Oh, you're so right. It was an angel. Now, it does say that this angel has a name. Does anybody know the name of this angel? Yeah. Who is it?
Gabriel.
It is Gabriel. Okay, so he sends a message to a girl named Mary. Okay?
Mary had a baby.
Hey, it's my story. Okay, so he sends a message to Mary saying, and you know what? When the angel appears to Mary, how do you think she felt?
Scared.
She was scared. But the angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. God is really happy with you, Mary. And you are going to have a son. He's going to be God's son, and he's going to be the savior of the world, and you're going to name him Jesus. What did Mary say? She's like, no way, I'm out. Did she say that?
No.
No. She's like, okay, I feel a little confused about the whole thing, but okay, I'm in. All right? I will do what the Lord wants me to do. So here's the thing. Mary is engaged to this man named Joseph. Okay, she's engaged to Joseph. I imagine she's a little bit nervous about possibly having to say, hey, I'm getting ready to have a baby, and it's going to be God's son. So, angel comes again. But this time, the angel comes in a dream. He shows up in Joseph's dream, and he says, hey, I don't want you to be worried about marrying Mary. She's going to have a baby, and he's going to be my son, and he's going to be the savior of the world. So Joseph wakes up, and he's like, okay, we're going to do this. And so he goes ahead, and he marries Mary. All right? Now, time goes by, and it's almost time for Mary to have the baby. And this guy, he was the emperor, the Roman emperor at that time, kind of like a governor, okay, kind of like that. And he says, you know what, I need to count all the people. So you have to go back to your hometown so that we can count you. So they have to take a trip. So Mary and Joseph, pregnant Mary, okay, and Joseph, have to walk all the way to Bethlehem because that was David's hometown. So I wonder about this. I start to think of some questions in my head. First of all, how far is it? How long do they have to walk? Does anybody have an idea? I Googled it, so I'm sure it's right. Anybody have an idea? What do you think? Okay, 5 to 10 miles. That would be a long walk. More than that.
3 days.
3 days. You're getting closer.
A week.
A little too far. I feel like I'm on a game show. What'd you say?
Maybe Wednesday.
They walked until Wednesday. I like that. Okay, they had to walk for about 4 days. It was 90 miles. So that if they walked about 8 hours a day, that would take them 4 days of walking. Now, I think maybe they probably had a donkey and Mary got to ride on it sometimes because you see the donkey in the little scenes and stuff, but I don't know if they had a donkey. I'm guessing they had a donkey. Now, does anybody here know any pregnant women? Have you ever seen any pregnant women, interacted with any pregnant women, maybe your mom or your aunt or a friend, a neighbor or something? How do they look towards the end?
Happy?
I gotta meet your mom. So they got a big belly and their ankles are kind of swollen sometimes and they walk around like, oh, my back hurts and their feet hurt. Imagine, I wanna know who had to tell Mary this is what was gonna happen. You're gonna have to walk for 4 days now, okay, to be counted. I wouldn't want to be whoever had to do that, okay? But they did it. Mary, there's no record of Mary having a fit about it. It just says that they went to Bethlehem. So now, it gets better. They get to Bethlehem, and everybody's going to their hometown. So the town, it was crowded. Everybody's there. They're from out of town. They're trying to find a place to sleep for the night. What happens? Who knows? Yeah. Shout it out.
It's always crowded. All the inns are crowded.
Right? There's no place for them to stay. There's no room. They don't have a place to stay. And so one innkeeper says, well, I don't have a place for you to sleep in the house, but you could sleep in the barn or the stable, or maybe it was a cave or something. It was where the animals slept. You could stay there. At least you'll have shelter, you know, maybe it won't be quite so cold. So, again, questions come into my mind. I'm thinking about Mary at this innkeeper's door and the conversation that happened there. What I would have wanted to say, or I would have nudged Joseph to say, I'll take his bed, right? He can sleep in the barn. Why didn't that happen? I wonder. It's a question. It's a question that I have in my mind. I don't know. But either way, they ended up sleeping in the barn, and Mary had the baby that night. So let's see if I can find baby Jesus in here. You know he's in here. Here he is. All right, so I'm going to put him in Mary's arms. She had the baby, and it says that she wrapped him in strips of cloth or swaddling clothes, okay? Because that's what you did to babies. You wrapped them up tight so they feel secure and safe, all right? So they do that. And now baby Jesus has been born. Mary and Joseph are there. In a nearby field, something also spectacular happens. Now, there are some shepherds in this nearby field, okay? And they're taking care of their sheep. That's another question I have. How many shepherds are there? I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say how many shepherds there are or how many sheep there are. I want to know that.
That's a great question.
Thank you. I try to always be learning. Okay, so the shepherds are out in the field with their sheep, and wait, I have a sheep. Here he is. Here's my sheep. Everybody say, "Baa." Make my sheep sound. Oh, good. That helps. That helps. All right, so there's my sheep. Now, shepherds, they weren't considered to be very important, right? They're not considered very important. And what they do is take care of sheep. They sleep with them. They make sure that, you know, they're fed and they're safe. They don't get lost because sheep get lost a lot. How do you think they smell?
Bad.
Have you ever smelled a sheep? Stinky. Okay, so these people they're not very important, and they stink. All right? Now, something else amazing happens. I only got one angel, so I'm going to put this one over here. An angel shows up in their field. And what do the shepherds do? How do they feel?
Scared.
Yes. Again, they're afraid. Another question in my mind, do angels look terrifying? I don't know. I want to know that. But so the angels are here. They show up. An angel shows up in the field, and he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." Okay? Jesus is going to be born tonight, and he's going to save the people from all their sins. Then a whole army of angels come. It's God's army of angels come. What does an army of angels look like?
No idea.
I know, but don't you want to know? I want to know. So an army of angels show up, and they start praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." The message that the shepherds got is that the Savior of the world has come, and you've got to go see him. And you're going to find him in Bethlehem, and he's going to be a baby wrapped in strips of cloth. So the shepherds go, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. We got to find this baby." So they do. So they go to Bethlehem, and they're looking for Mary and Joseph. I'm sure it was quite the talk of the town. Where is this couple that had a baby in a barn? So they found Mary and Joseph, and they went in, and they saw that they had a baby that was wrapped in strips of cloth, just like the angel said, and they worshiped him. Then they went out, and they had to tell their story to everybody else about who Jesus was and where he was and how exciting it was. Can you imagine the story that they got to tell? That they saw an angel with light all around, and then they saw the whole army of angels, and then they got to see baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. I imagine that was pretty exciting. Especially for some people that took care of stinky sheep, right? So that was something for us to think about, too, because that's who God wanted the first message to go to see baby Jesus, was the shepherds, okay? Because baby Jesus and what he does for all of us is for everybody. It's not just for important people or people that we think are important or rich people. So let's go back to the importance of the story. One thing I want you guys to remember about this story is this. Jesus is God's gift to us. He's the most perfect, awesome, amazing gift that we could ever have. Because Jesus is the one that makes it so that all of us can have a relationship with God that lasts forever. We can be in God's family because of God's perfect gift, Jesus. So when we think back to that song, "Christmas All the Time," maybe if we thought a little bit more about God's great gift to us and how we can, in return, give good gifts back to other people, it might feel a little bit better to have Christmas all the time. What are some ways that we can give generously to other people? What are some ways we can do that? You have an answer, I can tell. You can be kind. Does it cost any money to be kind?
No.
It does not.
Be helpful.
Be helpful.
Be courageous.
Be courageous.
Be cheerful.
Be cheerful. Oh, you guys are good. Yes.
Be niceful.
Say it again.
Be niceful.
Yes, be niceful. I like that. You definitely need to be nice. I think that's what God wants us to be. Yes. To be thankful. I love that. Those are all really good words on how we can be generous with other people. And if we were like that all the time, then definitely that would be something that I would want to happen every day.
Would you?
It could change the world. That's a better ending line. Thank you, Smith. Guys, let's thank Jesus right now for what he's done. Okay, just a quick prayer. Thank you, God, that you sent us Jesus so that we can have a relationship with him, that we can be in his family forever and ever. Amen. Okay, Pastor Rusty's going to come up, and he's going to teach us a little bit more about Jesus and some of the names that people called him. Okay, so you guys can go ahead and go back to your seats, and we're going to clean this off.
Is my microphone on? Ha! It was a magic transition. We needed to share the same belt pack, so I'm glad it worked out. I'm Rusty. I really appreciate Steph doing that, and we're glad to have all the ages in here, both here, but then those that are watching us online. So I'm going to surprise a few of you. Let me ask you this question. Where is Santa Claus from? Dan said the North Pole. How many people say North Pole? It's so noncommittal. Peoria, Illinois? Where? Who said Turkey? That's where Santa originally came from. He lives in the North Pole now, apparently. That's what NORAD says, and they've got apparently 180 volunteers tracking him right now. But I want to tell you a little bit about the beginning of Santa Claus. In about the 4th century in Turkey is where St. Nicholas starts. And that's where we actually, kids had a hard time saying St. Nicholas, and throughout the years, some of you have had this before, you wanted to be grandma, and you ended up being Grammy. Or Gumpa, or whatever you came up with, because kids say whatever they're going to say. Well, St. Nicholas was hard, so they came up with Santa Claus. But he actually started, he was a bishop in Turkey, a small town called Mira, Turkey. He was a devoted follower of Jesus and a church leader there. And a lot of times we miss history of things. So let me just tell you a few things about him. The time in Turkey, it was really difficult being a follower of Jesus. There was all kind of persecution that went on, and St. Nicholas was not immune to that. He paid a high price to be a follower of Christ, and one of the things he saw, because at that time, it's very similar to what we would say now. There's all kind of depravity. There's political corruption. There are all these things that go on at that time, too. Unlike what we have here in the United States, is there was this persecution of Christians. He stood out as a man of integrity and a man that really cared about others. And he really cared about the poor, and especially poor children. He gave away almost everything he had, so that others could benefit from it. And one of the stories, you can look this up, there are a bunch of sites for this, but one of the stories of St. Nicholas was that during this time, and this still happens other places in the world, you've heard of the bride price or dowry. if a young girl is going to get married, she has to bring something to the table, either money or property, some kind of an estate. And without that, many times they would end up on just living alone and going to the streets, and you can imagine how they had to fend for themselves. There was a man that had three daughters. He was poor, he was old, he couldn't take care of them anymore, and it was about a point where they were going to end up being on the streets. And it said that St. Nicholas collected three bags of gold, and through a window or a chimney, don't know which, he dropped them in the home so each of the girls had something they could use as a dowry. I mean, when you think of, we think of Santa Claus and gift-giving and all this, but he began with really being a giver of gifts to help others that were in desperate need. There's a reason we still see Santa Claus. He's all over the place. But to miss the background of it would be a shame, wouldn't it? I want to read to you in a moment a story that happened related to Christmas. So, in fact, St. Nicholas, they celebrate his birthday every December 6th throughout Europe. But prior to that, and even prior to Jesus being born, we hear of the story of baby Jesus coming. There was a prophet named Isaiah. I'm going to read to you in a minute what he wrote, but he was a spokesman for God at a time that was really difficult, too. There was all kind of moral decay and political corruption. There was social injustice all over the place, and people were spiritually really bankrupt, and it was a broken time. And the world is that way. Our world is screwed up. Not always. I mean, there's plenty of good things we can see, but we can also see the brokenness. It's all over. Isaiah was a preacher and a prophet and a minister at the time, and like St. Nicholas, paid a high price to be a follower of God. He had been arrested many times. He was eventually killed because of his faith. But during the time that God was using him, he was speaking to God's people and saying, look, you need to straighten up. God's not given up on you, but he will not support the way you're living. Most people didn't listen. And during that time of just utter chaos and brokenness, I want to read to you what he wrote. In fact, Isaiah, if you ever look up anything about him, he's the most quoted Old Testament writer in the New Testament of the prophets. He was a man of great courage, a man of real integrity. And to tell people that, you know, there's going to be judgment coming. The life is not going to be rosy if you don't get your life straightened up. And then he went on to say, and here's what God has promised. And it's what we celebrate now. Hundreds of years after he said this, we celebrated at Christmas. It'll be on the screen. This is Isaiah 9. It said, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. At a time when people didn't deserve any of that, they didn't deserve any hope, God still was holding it out because if he wanted to, he would have every right to wipe this planet clean. If he was going to wipe out sin, and a lot of us would hope he would, the problem is it would include you and me. But instead, he gives us hope. He will not support foolishness, and he will not wink at us messing up. But he says, if you will turn to me, I will give you everything you need. And Isaiah, hundreds of years prior, predicted exactly what the angels told Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And I want to walk through this passage with you for a minute because it's really, really powerful. And for us this Christmas, it offers us what we desperately need. It said that a child will be born to us. God could have come any way he wanted. He could have come like Russia came into Ukraine. We expect those that have power to come in and show it off. And instead, he came humbly. He came as a little child. And most of you, I watch you when someone will have a baby out in the lobby and everyone's going around the baby and they're just making little faces and doing all this. Babies are not frightening. God didn't want us to be frightened by him. He wanted us to see that he came for all of us. And he represents, Jesus does, the greatest gift ever given. At the highest price a gift ever given to. He came to be sacrificed for us. And Easter tells the rest of that story. It goes on to say, it says, the government will rest on his shoulders. We're used to government that is based mostly on big words and promises that may or may not be kept. This particular government is one that's going to be of a kingdom coming that will never end. And a kingdom where the king of that kingdom will never break his word. And the government, the rule of that's going to rest on his shoulders, not just a bunch of words, not just a bunch of empty promises, but something real and something good. Not only will the government rest on his shoulders, but he'll be called the Wonderful Counselor. He will be one that has great compassion and understanding. He's not distant. He doesn't mail it in, but he always tells us the truth. He's utterly trustworthy. He has wisdom. And whatever he says, you can count on. He's a good counselor. He won't tell us what we want to hear. He tells us what we need to hear and what ultimately is really, really good for us. Says he's the mighty God. He's not just good, but he's God. Some people have this idea that, you know, it's either God is either this all-powerful being that you can't relate to, or he's that good old toothless grandfather that doesn't, he's got good intentions but can't do anything with it. What we have here is he's this wonderful counselor, but he is the mighty God too. He has every bit of the power that anybody could have. There is no other God like him. He's not like the Marvel gods or the Marvel, whatever those people are. I'm not even sure what they are. They're kind of like the Greek or Roman gods. They've got a lot of power, but they're really screwed up. He's not like that at all. He sustains the universe. He also created it. And there is no one or no thing more powerful than he is. He's the mighty God. He's not flawed. He's righteous and he's good. And his power is unlimited except by his character. It says he's the everlasting Father. He's eternal and timeless, yes. But he's also very present with us. He's very approachable. And he gets us. Some of you have never known what it was like to have a real good parent or a father that comes alongside and is with you. The God we worship is that. He's the everlasting Father. Jesus said that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you want to know a picture what God the Father's like, just look at Jesus. Watch how he relates to all kinds of people. You get a picture of something that is pretty phenomenal. He's also the Prince of Peace. He rules with truth and justice, and he will establish peace, and it's a peace that will last for eternity. This side of heaven, we will have snippets of peace. We'll have a little bit of tastes of it along the way. But a lot of our life is not peaceful. A lot of our life is messed up. It's fragile. There are things that are happening that we can't control, and some of the ones we can control, we mess up on that too. There's not a lot of peace in our culture. One of the words for peace is harmony. We don't see a lot of harmony right now. We see a lot of division. We see a lot of brokenness. But what he's saying here is this child that came, this gift that we have, he's going to set up a kingdom, and that kingdom is going to be known for being peaceful. Not this side of heaven, but once history wraps up, we'll have it in full. We can have taste of it now. Right now, in a broken world, we can have everything going squirrely around us. And there's still that sense of peace that we can have that God will give us. But there's going to be a time where that will be constant. And I'm really looking forward to it. Everyone who has accepted Jesus as their Savior can count on the fact that he is the Prince of Peace. And we'll get a sense of it now sometimes. But there'll be a day when we'll have it fully. And then it goes on to say this. This kingdom will never end. Can you imagine being part of an administration where you have a good leader, a leader of integrity, a leader that is constantly putting the needs of the citizens at the forefront, and that will never change. Someone that you can utterly trust, someone who has paid a high price for our benefit and is not just doing everything they can to stay in office. It's a remarkable thing when we think about that baby, because that baby was just the beginning of God unleashing the story that the angels were singing. The angels knew what was happening, and when they saw baby Jesus, they had known him as the Creator earlier, and now he had come to become just like us, to come for us. No wonder they were shouting. No wonder they were amazed. And somehow we need to capture that too. Let me read this to you again. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end." We can taste it now. And there'll be a time when we will know it completely and fully if we accept Jesus. I don't invite the band to come out. This next song Sarah's going to be doing, it's a really interesting song. The name of it is Noel. And Noel's a Latin term for birth. And it really is, the name of it changed when you see it capitalized. It means the birth. It means when God came for you and me. And so what I want you to do is, as you're listening to the song, it's going to capture some of the things that Steph talked about earlier than I have. Things that the Bible says about Jesus that are so unique and so perfectly tailored to what you and I and what our world needs. Let's use it as a springboard to ask God to speak to us.
Everlasting Lord,
home today. Some of you opened, how many opened presents on Christmas Eve? Some of you are doing it this way. You're hoping you can, but you know it's not going to work. Or you get to open one. Sometime between now and tomorrow evening, find the New Testament book, Luke, and read chapter 2 of Luke. Stephanie told you a good bit about that, but it would be interesting around your living room, dining room, have someone read that and just hear the history behind this. We give gifts because the greatest gift ever was given to us, and this is just a reminder of that. Have fun with your presents and all that and your meal and all that, but don't miss what really is behind all of it. We're going to, in fact, once you stand, we've got a handful of songs we're going to do. Most of these you know. We're going to close out with them. There's a card and a seat back in front of you, and if there's anything that we can help you with, if there's something that's been stirred, a question you have, you want to find out anything, let us know. You can put it in the drop box out in the lobby, and I don't know if you got them when you came in or not, but we've got a handout with what's going on the next couple of weeks. We don't have any services here tomorrow. You can, we're taking this service and recording it, and then next Sunday, it's going to be all virtual. We're giving our staff and volunteers a time off this week. So let me pray, and then we're going to go out singing together songs that we know. God, you really, really are good to us. And this gift of a child could easily be misunderstood. Even the whole thing of gift giving, we can let that overshadow what matters most. Thank you so much for loving us and for breaking into our world in such a remarkable way. Not rejecting us, but accepting us if we would accept you. Being willing to forgive us no matter what we've done, as long as we ask. And may we taste a bit of that goodness of Jesus this Christmas and pass it on to people around us. In Christ's name, amen.